mornings. I'm Chris Oakes, and coming up, once again, it's Good Mornings on the Go at the Hancock County Fair. We'll get a rundown and preview of all the excitement still to come through the Labor Day weekend, plus a conversation with Fair and Events Manager Haley Reese. It is Senior Day at the fair. Speaking of which, did you know older Americans fell victim to more than $3 billion in scams last year? And local authorities just this week have warned that the con artists are at it again. And it's kickoff weekend of the college football season, which will look very different than last year. ESPN analyst Laura Rutledge helps us get the games started in style. This is the Good Mornings Podcast Edition for Thursday, August 29th, 2024. By the way, if you are the kind of person who can't get enough of fairs and festivals and all of that, some good news for you. Saw this on the Newswire this morning. The Lego convention is returning to Toledo this fall. After selling out during its inaugural year last year, visitors will have the chance to check out a number of attractions, including large Lego displays and Lego mosaics, and also have the opportunity to meet Lego masters and pro Lego artists, it says here. I didn't even know there was such a thing as professional Lego artists, but apparently there is, and you can meet them at the Lego convention at the Glass City Center in Toledo. It is called the Toledo Brick Convention, and it will run October 26th and 27th. So circle your calendars. Definitely will not want to miss that. Couple of other items that we want to mention right out of the gate here this morning. I was asked to pass this along, and so I want to make sure that we get it in here. The American Red Cross says that blood donations are down across the state of Ohio, not just in our area, but all throughout the Buckeye State. They say severe weather has led to 26 blood drives being canceled this summer, and that has resulted in nearly 500 donations going uncollected. And so there is a serious shortage of blood in the state. And to incentivize people to donate, Red Cross is offering incentives. They're giving away Amazon gift cards and Cedar Point tickets at some blood drives and all of that. The easiest way to make an appointment to donate blood and find out what perks you may get for doing so is through the Red Cross Blood Donor app. Or you can search for Red Cross Blood Donations online, and you can visit their website. But they do have an app that'll help you find a blood drive near you. You can get some perks, and most importantly, know that you may have saved a life. So, not may have, you will have saved a life. So, wanted to pass that along. Some of the other most interesting and buzzworthy stories to get your Thursday morning started here. This I thought was rather interesting just because of who conducted the survey or compiled the list. High Point University in North Carolina has been named the best run college in the country. High Point University in North Carolina. This is according to the latest rankings from the Princeton Review. The report shows the university in the Piedmont Triad area of North Carolina earned the number 6 spot for best college dorms, took 9th place for best career services. Officials used responses from students to put together the list, so the students themselves had their say in this. It's the 8th consecutive year that High Point University has ranked at the top of the Princeton Review's best colleges list. Kind of ironic that Princeton is not at the top of the list of the Princeton Review's best college lists, you know? I guess you can't yell bias there if they're not even ranking their own university. Princeton Review. By the way, High Point University is celebrating 100 years next month. Let's see. A couple of other items here among the first things you need to know, the most interesting and buzzworthy stories of the day. Speaking of schools and back to school time and all of that, there has been a movement not just in Ohio, but around the country, to ban the use of smartphones in school. The state of Ohio passed a law that, I guess, forces schools to create their own policies or abide by the statewide policy, which bans most smartphone use in schools. And there are a lot of different reasons for this. The mental health of students and distraction and, you know, all of that. An opinion piece in The Telegraph, the website for the British newspaper The Telegraph. An opinion piece now suggests that employers should do the same for grown-ups as the state is doing for schools. The article cites a crash in worker productivity compared to the early 2000s, before the advent of the smartphone and social media and all of that. They also cite research that showed 95% of employees check their phones at work, at least occasionally. Recent studies showed the average person spends 4 hours and 37 minutes on their phone every day, which works out to 70 full days a year, and conceivably, some of that time, at least some of that time, is work time, or is supposed to be work time. Now, there are jobs where cell phone use is prohibited. There are also jobs and workplaces where people are encouraged to use their smartphone. I mean, if you're, I don't know, say a real estate agent that's posting information about your listings on social media, you could argue that being on your smartphone at work is actually a work-related activity. But there are some jobs where cell phone use is prohibited, including, for example, McDonald's employees are prohibited from using their cell phones. According to research from Duke University, cited in the piece in The Telegraph, workers at McDonald's restaurants that have banned cell phone use are more happy and more focused because of the ban. So the piece opines, and I'm quoting here, "To address the financially painful impacts of our addiction, smartphones should be banned during work hours, with access allowed only during official breaks, similar to how nicotine addicts can only get their fixes during smoke breaks," unquote. So it really begs the question, would you be willing to log off during the day if your employer banned cell phones, or would you just log out of the job entirely, you know? I don't know. Is that an idea whose time is come to ban cell phones, not just at school, but at work as well? Interesting. Discuss among yourselves. And lastly here, among the first things you need to know this morning, the most interesting and buzzworthy stories of the day. I love this idea. Call it a marketing genius from the folks at Pizza Hut. According to a survey commissioned by the pizza giant, nearly 9 out of 10 people who are moving order a pizza to fuel them through the process. Or if you're having some friends help you move, what's the big thing? We'll get a pizza. I'll spring for pizza. I'll buy pizza. But nearly 80% of those people who order pizzas when they're moving have nowhere to eat it because all of their stuff is packed away. So what do? You just sit on the floor and you eat on the floor. With that in mind, Pizza Hut has now created a limited edition moving box table. A specialty pizza box that transforms into a miniature table to offer a more civilized dining experience rather than eating on the floor. This is according to the press release from Pizza Hut. Basically, all you have to do is unfold the special box in a particular way, and it transforms into a tabletop. Customers in Dallas, Charlotte, and Orlando, which happen to be the three most popular U.S. cities people are moving to, Dallas, Charlotte, and Orlando, they will have access to the transforming table with orders of large menu-priced pizzas. And unlike the night table you may have bought from that Swedish company, this is one piece of furniture you'll look forward to building, the company says. I kind of like that. I think it's a marketing genius. The last time I moved, yeah, you'd order a pizza. And you order a pizza because it's finger food and, you know, all of the silverware is packed away, but probably the table's packed away too and you don't want to eat on the floor. I love it. What a great idea. There you go. Some of the most interesting and buzzworthy stories to get your Thursday morning started. Good morning's on the go. The Hancock County Fair. And it's... I was noticing just a bit ago, you know, this early part of the day is when a lot of the young exhibitors will kind of walk their animals around the fair, give them a little bit of exercise and so on. And the animals look so confused. They have no idea what's going on. What's going on here? This is not normal. But anyway, it's great great time. We hope to see you at the Hancock County Fair today. It is Senior Day, meaning that seniors will get in free admission with appropriate ID to verify your age. So we would love to see you at Senior Day today. And speaking of seniors, this seems like an appropriate topic to talk about. Crimes against seniors totaled more than $3.4 billion in losses this past year. $3.4 billion lost to crimes against seniors. More than 100,000 complaints were filed by people over the age of 60 in 2023. That is an 11% increase from the previous year, according to the FBI Internet Crime Complaint Center's most recent elder fraud report. And just this week, local officials sounded the alarm that a number of local residents are once again being targeted. Joining us is Chad White. He is general counsel for Brookdale Senior Living, which is the nation's largest operator of senior living communities. Talk a little bit about some of the most common scams that target seniors in particular.
Yeah, thanks, Chris. There are a number of them, but I'll highlight a couple. One is family or relationship scams. They're one of the most common types. These are the types of scams that pull at the heartstrings. They exploit loneliness, or they scare victims into thinking a loved one's in trouble. One common version of this scam involves a criminal who pretends to be a family member of a senior, and they may say they're the granddaughter or grandson, niece or nephew, and claim that they need money for an unexpected expense or an emergency, such as college tuition or car repairs or overdue rent. Sometimes it's even claiming that they've been put in jail and they need bail money. That's a very common scam where they're trying to get a senior to give up some of their hard-earned money.
Yeah, that seems to be the one that's going around here locally once again. Go on, that one and the other one that's the most common?
Yeah, I think the other that's very common today is identity theft and phishing schemes. So this takes the place when someone sends an email that you think is from a business that you do business with regularly. Usually it's something along the lines of, you need to submit updated payment information or you're past due on your account. And what they're actually doing is actually not from the company that you do business with, but it's someone who's very sophisticated and they make their email look like the business that you do business with. But what they're really trying to do is get you to click on a link and provide your personal information or credit card information.
Right.
Or open an attachment that might have some malware on it where they can get inside your computer.
So what are the telltale signs that we are dealing with a scam? Are there things that we should be on the lookout for?
Yeah, I think some of the key signs are if someone demands money urgently or immediately, Chris, that's a real sign that there may be a red flag here. That if they ask you or if they tell you you need to act now or you don't tell someone about this, take action immediately and pay, that's a real red flag. If someone comes to you and says, if you don't pay me money, I'm going to take you to the authorities or take other legal action, you need to slow down and see before you send any money there. And then one of the big telltale signs is if someone asks you to wire money, particularly if they ask you to wire money overseas, or submit payment in some form of gift cards or cryptocurrency or some other unusual form of payment. Mm-hmm. Any of those things happen, those are pretty good signs that a scam may be involved.
And the reason why they like things like cryptocurrency or gift cards is because they're impossible to trace.
That's right. And just like a wire, if you wire that money, it's very hard to get back. It goes many different places. And so gift cards are the same way, just as you mentioned. Mm-hmm. They're very sophisticated. They know what they're doing, and they're trying to prey on vulnerable seniors, which is just outrageous.
Given how pervasive these things are there ways that we can protect ourselves from and others in our family, our circle of friends, from getting scammed?
Absolutely. There are certain things I would recommend. One is to be cautious. You need to research and verify before you ever submit payment or turn over your information to a third party. If you get one of these family calls, someone pretending to be a family member, you need to verify before you send information. And so what I would encourage you to do is say, hey, I need to call you back, get their phone number, and then call them back at the number that you know is their actual phone number. And if they don't answer, call another loved one or family member instead. Don't just take that first call at its word because you might be being scammed. Another thing I would say is to, again, never wire money based on a phone call, an email, or text.
Mm-hmm.
And then be very wary of unsolicited calls, emails, or texts. Don't click on any links or attachments. Go direct to a website. If you get one of these emails that say you owe money to someone, don't click on that link. Don't open that attachment. Go to the internet and find the website for that actual business. Go there. Or call their customer service department directly. You want to make sure that you're talking and dealing with the party that actually is the party you're expecting to do business with and not some scammer on the internet.
Now, because these things are almost impossible to shut down, the key to stopping them really is education, some of what we're talking about this morning. And I know at Brookdale, you try and educate residents and families as well. In many cases, though, people need to proactively educate themselves or seek out programs and workshops that can help get you the education that you need on this.
Absolutely. I think it's important, Chris, for folks to be educated. For us at Brookdale, our mission is to enrich the lives of those we serve, and so we want to make sure as best we can to provide resources and information to seniors. We do it in a variety of manners. We have workshops at many of our communities. We might bring in a local expert who's a finance expert or a security expert to provide up-to-date information. We have website blogs. I'd encourage your listeners to go to brookdale.com. On our website, we have additional resources that are available, a lot of additional information that people can learn about different types of scams, but also different tips that you can take to protect yourself. It's really important here. Prevention and education are the key ways to try to avoid these, because oftentimes, once the scam occurs, as you mentioned, there's no way to get the money back.
And then, as I always say, if you are a victim, report it. At the very least, it will help authorities recognize patterns, and then they can warn others.
That's right. That's the most important thing. You may not be able to get a recovery, but you are helping other folks avoid it. And so we would definitely encourage you to contact the local authorities. We have a link on our website to the Senate Aging Committee, which they have a fraud reporting system there. So making sure others know about it so that they can be aware of it, telling your friends and neighbors if you get a call like this. It's really important to just try to make sure that everyone has that awareness.
Again, Chad White is general counsel for Brookdale Senior Living, talking about avoiding senior scams. And Chad, thanks very much for taking the time. Before we let you go, mention one more time the website where folks can get some of those resources to help educate themselves on this.
Sure. I'd encourage folks to go to brookdale.com. It's got a lot of information on there, and I think it's very helpful. So thanks for having me today, and I appreciate it.
We have that information linked up at our webpage, by the way, at goodmornings.net. As we mentioned, it is Senior Day at the Hancock County Fair. Day number 3, Haley Reese is with us here. Fair and Events Manager, dropped by seeing us. Thanks very much for taking some time this morning. I understand you've got some stuff even going on this morning. You are very busy.
Yes, I get to play the part of show mom this morning, even though I don't have kids old enough to show. So here in just a few minutes, we will have Pee-wee goat showmanship.
Okay.
So
very
Ray
cool.
Reese, my four-year-old, she's going to borrow a goat and show her. But what's really neat is nearly every species does this, where we have Pee-wee showmanship. So last night, littles were showing pigs, and then there will be cows at some point, and then sheep was also, oh, that might have been a couple nights ago, but it's one of the cutest things I've ever seen.
That is awesome. That is, get everybody involved.
Yes.
And if you get the chance, you're out on the grounds this morning, check that out. That's going to be terrific. First couple of days of the Hancock County Fair, obviously a little warm, but with the revised schedule, how have things gone these first couple of days here?
I think they've been fine. It's just hot, and there's nothing we can do about hot.
Right.
Would a county fair be a county fair if we didn't have a couple days that weren't just sweltering?
That's very true. But a lot of positive feedback about the changes in the schedule?
Yes, I think the additional day has been well received. And then doing the adjustment into Monday for the sale, when people can go home at noon and families have that, I mean, a whole extra day almost to prepare for school starting the following. So that was the whole objective of adding that extra day, was to accommodate families and make sure that people could get settled and weren't running from fair to school and into the crazy.
I thought it was kind of interesting as I was here earlier this week and looking around some of the exhibits, and I was looking at some of the fair memorabilia in the Grange building and so on, and I did not realize that the fair long ago was like 4 days, and now, you know, it's been expanded. So this is not the first time, I guess that's the point. It's not the first time the fair has been expanded or the dates have been changed. So.
Correct, yeah. And every fair runs a little differently, but some fairs are a couple days and some fairs are 10 days. Dark County's fair is 10 days long.
Yeah.
So as we grow and expand,
a little bit longer, yeah.
So as we grow and expand, it's almost a necessity to expand our schedule.
And that's a good thing.
Yes.
That's a very good thing.
Yes. We have, I wouldn't even call it run into an issue, but we have had this really cool thing happen the past couple years where we have had so many animals that we've had to go into tents. We've had to stretch our schedule.
Yeah.
The days are longer, and where some people would be like, well, that's a real pain. I look at it as, our county is growing. Our kids are more involved, and agriculture really is the heart of what Hancock County is.
Absolutely. And also, you've got so much more entertainment. You've got the Travis Denning concert tonight, the harness racing for a couple of nights. You've got a couple of demolition derby events, and there's so many of those things to accommodate as well.
Yes, so, absolutely. Yeah. So today is a packed day. We do have harness racing in the South Grandstands, but tonight at 8 o'clock, we have the Travis Denning concert, and this concert is being sponsored by Millstream Area Credit Union. Shout out to them. If you see any representative from their organization, please say thank you, because this is, being able to bring back the concert is a really cool bonus, and the biggest part is it's free. You pay your fair admission at the gate, and then the concert's free.
So you can't go wrong. And, of course, as we mentioned, Senior Day today, so seniors get in free with appropriate ID. And I wasn't aware of this, but you actually have an app. There's a fair app.
We do.
So.
Yes, so get into your Play Store or your App Store and search Hancock County Fair. It will also show up as Hancock County Agricultural Society, and it gives you a play-by-play of the schedule. It lets you know what displays are where. It lets you know what to expect throughout the day, and I love it.
It's truly gone high tech.
Yes, and we're going to utilize that app all year long because we can update it in real time.
Terrific stuff. We'll let you go because I know you're pressed for time.
Yes.
Got to get over to your show. Best of luck. Haley Reese, thanks very much for dropping by.
Thank you so much. Have a great day.
Thursday at the Hancock County Fair, day number 3. It is Senior Day, as we mentioned, so seniors will get in free today. The big entertainment of the evening is the second day of harness racing at the South Grandstand at 6, the Travis Denning concert at 7 o'clock in the North Grandstand, and both of those events are free with fair admission, so come out and hang out, as we were saying a little bit earlier. Also, among the activities at the fair, the Hancock County OSU Extension and 4-H program got a lot of things going on all week long. Jennifer Little is with us this morning. And how did the STEM bus go over yesterday?
It went over very well.
Yeah, I can
and
imagine so.
As a little bonus, I think we had 50 to 75 kids go through. And the bonus was we had a bunch of STEM kits. So for the first 50 or so that went through, got to take home their own
Very
STEM kit,
cool.
which was really cool.
Very
yes,
cool.
Yes, it was a little shaky kind of getting the bus in and out as I had to navigate around, you know, all of the vendors that are right there in front of the youth pavilion.
Right.
So, yeah, we're on Food Alley there, which is kind of fun.
But that is really cool that you were able to bring that in. And as we said, you've got a lot of things going on. We've been talking about, first of all, with 4-H doing the various things with the 4-H's through the course of the fair.
So, today in the afternoon, the 4-H's, they've been exploring things every afternoon at 1:00. So we've had activities for kids and families. And so today it's exploring hands, and we are talking about service, and we are having kids make blessing bags, so little goodie bags that they can take to first responders, teachers, 4-H volunteers, to kind of show their appreciation to so many wonderful people we have in Hancock County that make our lives better and safer, and helping kids understand that showing their appreciation to these people that, you know, give up themselves every day to
Absolutely.
Make their lives better.
Many of whom are here on the fairgrounds throughout the,
yes.
you know, like 24 hours
yeah.
a day.
So,
and so, you
so
know,
some of them may get
out.
A delivery this afternoon,
Maybe.
Which is
so
cool.
Big shout out to everybody who is protecting us at the fair. And then you also have family fun with Family and Computer Consumer Sciences.
Yes. So at 11 in the Youth Pavilion, we have mind games. So we're talking a little bit
You're
about
playing some mind games with us
yeah,
here.
Yes. We've got some fun activities that help involve being physically active with using our brains at the same time. So we've got a lot of fun activities for kids there and some goodies for them to take home. And then tomorrow is financial fun with FCS. So we've got a lot of games with money or centered around money and activities for kids to do to learn. Because, you know, so many people don't carry cash anymore and kids don't necessarily know those denominations or the coin values. So we're going to do some kind of fun things with that.
The other thing that we lose as we become a cashless society is that sense of tangibility with our money. It becomes very easy to spend it maybe more than what we should. And so I'm guessing that's part of it as well.
Yes. Yeah. Talking about how much things cost and adding up. When we say something costs, you know, $2.50, physically counting that out and realizing this is what you are losing when that happens. It's not just a card swipe that comes out of the air. That money does come from somewhere.
Exactly.
I think that'll be a fun time. And then kind of staking along with the Financial Friday theme in the Grange building, I have a special guest at the extension booth, and that will be Amy Carls from the Ohio Consumers Council, and she'll be there kind of, she got a little fun wheel with some fun giveaways, but she'll also be there to talk to consumers about how to save money on their utilities, as well as how to avoid scams and things like that. And that's always fun. She's a great, great lady to have around, and she's fun to talk with. So I encourage people from 3 to 5 tomorrow in the Grange building, stop by and I say, ask Amy. So that's
very good. Financial education for kids and adults.
Yes.
Tomorrow at the fair. And also, among the other things that you have going on, the Master Gardeners are out here.
Yes, they have a wonderful presence. Bless their hearts. They come out and they man their booth, which is adjoining to ours in the Grange building, and they will answer questions. They have lots of fun educational displays and even interactive activities that kids can do, and they're giving away seeds. So if you're a person who maybe hasn't grown anything before, even on a potted garden or a backyard garden, they're there to help you get answer your questions and give away seeds.
Yeah.
And one other thing that's going on in the Grange building is there is a silent auction that's going on. So people that are visiting the Grange, there's also some kind of themed items that they're kind of auctioning off as a way to raise some funds to just do some improvements and updates to that building. So that's something people can stop by and check out as they're carousing the Grange building.
A lot of great things going on. And again, these are happening at the Grange building and the Youth Pavilion involving the Hancock County OSU Extension and 4-H program. And, you know, we were talking about this yesterterday on the program. Bears repeating, big shout out to all of the 4-H kids who have really put in hours upon hours of work for not just the animals, but the other projects and everything.
Yes, it's so impressive to walk through the youth pavilion and see all of those projects on display and seeing what the kids have done and what they've learned. And we also have 4-H club volunteers who man that booth. So if you have questions about 4-H or want to know about clubs or want to know where your club is or where your kid's project is displayed, we have volunteers there throughout the day and evening that can help you find those things.
That's the other thing. We should give a shout out to all of the grown-ups. And we talk about the kids who have worked so hard on their projects, but it wouldn't be possible without the adults who help guide them along in that path.
Yes, yes. We have over 150 adult volunteers in Hancock County making sure that kids get their projects done, learn, and just pouring into these kids and helping them just have a more, you know, well-rounded, you know, education and, you know, free time.
So, big kudos to everybody who makes that program happen. And we are very blessed in Hancock County to have an extremely strong 4-H program.
Yeah, it's over 100 years old here in Hancock County.
So Brain Games today at the youth, that's at the Grangemen Youth Pavilion.
No, that's in the Youth Pavilion.
That's in the Youth Pavilion.
Yep, our Family Fun with FCS, and we have a little more room to spread out there.
And also the HANDS project, the service project for 4-H.
Yep, so 11 and 1.
Okay, very good. Again, Jennifer Little with the Hancock County OSU Extension with us this morning talking about some of what's going on here on the grounds of the Hancock County Fair for day number 3. Good to see you. Thanks very much for dropping by.
Thank you, Chris.
This is Good Mornings with Chris Oakes on 1330 WFIN, WFIN.com, and 95.5 FM.
We interrupt this program to bring you a broken news alert.
We begin with the international file of the broken news this morning. Canadian influencer Logan Moffat has caused quite a stir. He's built up quite a following and caused quite a stir now with his viral cucumber recipes. Yes, that's right. It's viral cucumber recipes. Sometimes you need to eat an entire cucumber. That's kind of how he launches into these cucumber recipes. That's his tagline. Sometimes you need to eat an entire cucumber. But here's the problem, and this is what makes this newsworthy. His advice is now been linked to a shortage of cucumbers in Iceland. A Canadian influencer makes these videos, has been linked to a shortage of cucumbers in Iceland. Farmers there are apparently struggling to keep up with the sudden demand, and they hope supply will be back to normal in about a week. While cucumbers are a great source of vitamin K, C, potassium, magnesium, fiber, and manganese, eating them excessively could trigger digestive issues. So you want to... gastrointestinal issues, I guess I should say. Not digestive issues, but gastrointestinal issues. So you have to be cautious. They're concerned about the viral cucumber shortage in Iceland. Oh no, whatever will we do? We've got a cucumber shortage in Iceland. Elsewhere in the broken news, this also from the international file. A flight was delayed at the Prakash Narayan Airport in India due to a fight between a mongoose and a cobra on the runway. A mongoose and a cobra going at it on the runway of the airport. The two animals were duking it out. Footage taken from the plane that was waiting to take off, being delayed by all of this. Footage shows the battle ending when two additional mongooses, is that the plural of mongoose? Two additional mongooses, or mongeese, step in to help the first one who was battling the cobra. In the wild, mongoose and cobra prey on one another. The cobras tend to eat the mongoose's young while the adult mongoose eats cobras. So it is estimated that the mongoose wins the fight against the cobra about 75% of the time. The story doesn't say who won the battle on the runway other than a couple of other mongoose step in to help. So it wasn't really fair, 3-on-1. But anyway, the flight ended up taking off. But wow, how could you imagine trying to explain to your passengers, our flight has been delayed because there is a fight between a mongoose and a cobra on the runway. Wow. Let's see. Speaking of flights, here is something you don't want to do. And I know a lot of people are traveling for Labor Day. Airports are going to be very busy, last big blast of summer and all of that. This is something you will not want to do the next time you fly. Just some helpful advice. A New York man is now facing charges after telling police at the Charleston International Airport that he had a bomb. He told police that he had a bomb. Authorities say over the weekend, Thomas Anthony Brienza approached officers at the airport and told them he had a bomb and a gun. He allegedly added that he had fentanyl in his car parked outside. So apparently he was looking to get into trouble, and as much trouble as he could possibly get into. He was quickly arrested, of course, and booked for threatened use of a weapon of mass destruction. Eventually, he told police that he didn't actually have a bomb, that he was just filming content for his YouTube channel. Just filming content for his YouTube channel. Oh, well, okay, we'll let you go then. Not. Don't do that. Even if you are filming content for your YouTube channel, they really do not have much of a sense of humor for such things at the airport. You know? That's what I found. So, a little word to the wise. And a couple of other items here on the broken news. Woman who was visiting the Florida Keys. Apparently she was there for a job interview. Not only did she not get the job, she never even made it to the interview. Kimberly Marie Robbins, age 47, and her husband Charles, age 41, apparently stopped off at a bar en route to the interview. And you can probably fill in the rest, but we have the rest of the story here. They purchased a bottle of Crown Royal and polished off about half of it in roughly 5 minutes, according to patrons of the bar. After a fight between the two over her drinking, Ms. Robbins hopped back in the couple's pickup truck to get away from her husband, but ended up crashing into the side of the building. After failing a battery of field sobriety tests, Ms. Robbins was taken to the local jailhouse. That's where they were going to give her a breathalyzer, but then things got even worse. After spitting on the face of a deputy, she allegedly grabbed his leg and pants and would not let go, even after he gave multiple verbal commands to do so. This is according to the police report. The deputy then had to use mechanical compliance to break free from Ms. Robbins. She is now facing charges of battery on a law enforcement officer and resisting arrest, along with two misdemeanor DUI charges. Her husband is facing a misdemeanor battery charge as well. And no, she didn't get the job. But she has a story. Years from now, she'll be talking about, hey, remember that time we went to Key West? Key West, you know, has a reputation for anything goes, but apparently not anything. Yeah. And finally, in the broken news this morning, and here's another story back to the international file here, and what parent can't relate to this story? A 4-year-old boy knocked over a bronze, a jar from the Bronze Age. It was a clay jar from the Bronze Age at least 3,500 years old while he and his family were visiting the Hecht Museum in Israel. The priceless artifact was being kept near the entrance, and according to the boy's father, the child pulled the jar slightly to see what was inside, and that caused it to shatter. 3,500-year-old Bronze Age jar shattered. Luckily, the museum was understanding about the whole mishap. According to a spokesperson for the museum, the jar was accidentally damaged by a young patron visiting the museum, and the response will be accordingly. That's what they say. We will respond accordingly. A conservation specialist will restore the artifact, which was once used to carry supplies like wine or olive oil in the Bronze Age. I wonder if they're going to glue it together like, you know, that Brady Bunch episode. Don't play ball in the house. Glue it together. But don't put any water in it, because you never know. $3,500-year-old priceless jar shattered to pieces by a, what was it, a four-year-old? Three or a four-year-old? Four-year-old. At the museum. Anybody with a toddler can relate. That's embarrassing. There you go. That is the broken news of the day. An update on the odd and unusual side of the headlines. We now return you to your regularly scheduled programming.
When the rumors are flying, getting the facts matters more than ever. At WFIN, we're your trusted source and will always present the story only after verifying the information with trusted sources. This is WFIN News Director Matt Demchek. Trust in us to present just the facts when covering events impacting Findlay and Hancock County. You can depend on us to get the story right every time on social media, 1330 WFIN, WFIN.com, and at 95.5 FM.
School season is underway. College football about to start, and the NFL, of course, kicks off their season very soon. Of course, game day, in whatever form it takes, is about more than just the action on the field. It's about great company, fun gatherings, and, of course, amazing food. And joining us this morning is ESPN host Laura Rutledge, who has teamed up with the Honey Baked Ham Company to share the secret to a perfect game day spread. So, Laura, given that we are just getting started in another football season, everybody all excited about this, what should people be thinking about before their next tailgate, watch party, whatever it might happen to be?
Well, Chris, you mentioned delicious food, and I think that should always be the focus as a fan of really yummy food. That's where the Honey Baked Ham Company comes into play and can help you so much with your home gate or your tailgate. Such a variety of options, including their sliders. They have a new pulled pork Cuban slider that is so yummy. Pulled pork, a new addition to their menu this year, as well as their incredible sides, mac and cheese being a personal favorite of mine. You have your classic ham, you have your sandwich platter. So really anybody that's coming to your home gate or tailgate, they're going to leave with a full belly. They're going to be so pleased with everything that they had. And it also allows you the convenience, because everything's a one-stop shop, to focus on your friends, to focus on having fun and watching the game.
Absolutely. I love honey baked ham. What else should be in the game day spread to kind of round that out, fill it out?
I'm so glad that you love honey baked ham. I would tell you to check out their new game day box, which is a complete game day meal. So you can get the sliders as well as sides of your choice. And it comes in this awesome box. You can carry it wherever you're going to watch the game or to hang out with family and friends, and just allows for you to not have to sacrifice any quality over making sure that you're convenient with your pickup of your food. You don't have to go a million places to make this happen. It's just all right there at your local honey baked store, honeybake.com/game day.
That's the other thing that I like, is simplicity. So you make it easy and you make it yummy, and there we go. And I understand, it says here, Honey Baked is celebrating the kickoff of a new football season. How? Tell us about this.
Well, there's so many great tailgate spots that they're going to be stopping off at all over college football. And they're going to bring this delicious food so you can try their game day spread. You can also get some great items from Honey Bake. They start the season off Georgia against Clemson in Atlanta. So if anybody's going to that game, look for the Honey Bake tailgate tent. It'll be so much fun. They're also stopping Oklahoma against Texas in Dallas for the first time. That now on October 12th is an SEC game, and we can't wait for that. And then Florida, Georgia in Jacksonville, that's where they end their tailgate tour November 2nd. So look out for those tailgate stops and check them out if you're in the area.
All right. Very good. So I got to ask, on the cusp of a new college football season, what is the storyline that you are most excited about heading into this new season? It seems like there are so many of them with conference realignment, with so many teams that have a chance to make some real noise this year. What is the storyline that you are most excited about, will be most interesting to see how it unfolds?
Yeah, there's so many, right? To your point, I do think the expanded playoff and how teams take advantage of the transfer portal. We've seen so many of these teams, Ole Miss, I would call out specifically, where Lane Kiffin, who a lot of people know as the portal king, has put together a team basically out of the transfer portal, filled a lot of holes there. Their defense looks like it should be dynamic. They've already got Jackson Dart and so many weapons offensively. You know that he's a great play caller. They figure to be a big player, potentially even in the playoffs. Picture. They would have been in the playoffs had it been expanded last season. Mm-hmm. But does it all add up, right? It seems good on paper. I'm really fascinated to see that. And then I would also just throw out Ohio State as a team that, you know, so many are talking about as a potential national champion or a contender in that way. But they've got to beat Michigan. And if they're going to beat Michigan, this is probably the year to do it. And, you know, there's some question marks around the quarterback position with Michigan. JJ McCarthy and the entire coaching staff obviously has departed basically. So if Ryan Day is going to lose to Michigan this year, I think that could be a problem with Ohio State, knowing the expectations. They're another team, too, that has done really well in the transfer portal. Now they have to put it all together and see if they can make a run.
Now, I know you are an SEC girl and we are in Big Ten country. What do you think about this expanded Big Ten outside of Ohio State? Who are you looking at?
Yeah, it's wild, right, to be telling you right now that I'm looking at Oregon as
right.
a Big Ten team that
right.
we need to keep our eye on, but I am, you know, and I think even with a different quarterbacking system and their offense will look a little bit different, they're still primed for great success, and I can't wait to see the splash that they make. It's going to be interesting to see with the travel that these teams are going to have to
no
make,
question.
And, you know, that's been a big part of the conversation. How does that factor in? The expanded playoff, too, you know, a team that is going to make a run is going to have to play a lot more games than they would have had to play otherwise. So who has the depth to pull that off? I think Oregon is a team to look out for there, though, for sure.
Again, ESPN host Laura Rutledge with us this morning, teaming up with the Honey Baked Ham Company to kick off the college football season. And where do we get more information, Laura?
Yeah, so you can go to your local Honey Bake store or honeybake.com/gameday. I can't wait for all of you to try this delicious food. It's going to make your tailgate and home gate just that much better.
Laura, thanks very much for taking the time. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
And that will finish up our podcast for today. Thanks to all of our guests for joining us on the program. And remember, you can get more information about all of the topics that we talk about each and every day on the show at our webpage, goodmornings.net. A quick note, no podcast tomorrow, of course, for the Labor Day weekend, and no podcast on Tuesday of next week, taking a little extended R&R over the Labor Day weekend. Coming up Wednesday on the program, lessons in building a better business or just building the best you. From the book and podcast, Let Me Save You 25 Years. Little motivation as we head into the fall season. So until Wednesday morning, that is Good Mornings for this morning. Now that you've had a good morning, go on out and make it a good day, a great weekend. We'll catch you back here next week.